Joshua chapter 20, verse 8. And he's speaking about the cities of refuge, and he makes mention of one here. And on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho, eastward, they assigned Bezer. And I want to minister on this some more. And that word, that the name of this city of refuge is, it means an inaccessible spot. An inaccessible spot. And when I began to look at that, I got excited. Praise God. Because there is a place that I can run and hide. There is a secret place, amen, where the enemy cannot come and cannot molest me, praise God, cannot harm me, cannot do anything against me, but it is a place where I can have communion with God and have victory after victory after victory after victory. Praise God. Father, I thank you this morning for the word of God, and I'm asking you to help us. I'm asking you to touch us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. Praise God. This inaccessible spot that God gave to the children of Israel. And just to kind of remind you what we are talking about here. When the children of Israel came into the promised land, God gave them cities of refuge. Amen. That if anyone got in big time trouble, accidentally killed someone, or even if they did it on purpose, there was a city of refuge that they could run to until the matter was discussed at the city gate and there was a judgment made. And as long as you stay in the city of refuge here in the Old Testament, there would not be anyone that could harm you or hurt you. Praise God. Too often I think that when we think about our walk with God, our relationship with the Lord Jesus, we often get the idea that the devil has free reign in our lives. And that he can come and go as he wishes and do whatever he wants to do at any time that he wants to. But I don't believe that this morning. Amen. Well, praise God. Because I've found a refuge. Amen. I've found a refuge. As the old song goes, I found a cure in Jesus. Amen. And I've found a refuge in Jesus. There are many, many aspects of our relationship with him that are brought out in these different cities and these different principles, if you please, or truths that we can find from the Word of God here in the Old Testament. Because in our life, there are many things that we need to escape from. It seems like some are going to be there forever, but they're not going to be there forever. And it may be there in front of you, but it does not have the ability to take you away from God. It does not have the ability to steal your joy. It does not have the ability to get you off of the rock that we're on this morning. Amen. Because all that we have today is solid and secure. Everything that God has given us is not a temporary thing. It's a very solid, eternal thing that God has given to us. Well, praise God. And if you are thinking in the terms of the here and now, temporary and so on, I'm here to tell you today that there is a place that you can go, and that's Jesus. Amen. Where the devil and the world cannot come. Amen. There is a place of refuge. There is a place that is inaccessible by the enemy. Amen. Can't get there. Can't do this. Amen. I am secure in the hand of God. Jesus said, in my hand, if you're in my hand, no man can snatch them out of my hand. We're in a secure place today. Praise God. We're in a secure place for our family. Amen. We're in a secure place in our personal walk with God. I remember when I was in Israel back in the 80s, I remember going to the city of Petra, and that was in the country of Jordan. And there is this city that was supposedly an impenetrable city. We had to go down by horseback. It was about a mile trip down into this city. And it was between canyon walls that stretch hundreds and hundreds of feet up above. Down below, it was maybe 15 feet wide in some of the narrowest places. And when we got to the end, this city opened up. And there it was with all the pillars, the Greek pillars, and carved out of the sandstone. It was really quite a situation. They declared that no one would be able to get them because they were up high on the mountain and they were in this impenetrable place. Well, they said it in their pride, but we're not saying it in our pride this morning. We're just stating a matter of fact that when you're with Jesus, the devil can't get at you. I'm going to show it to you today. Praise God. I want us to understand that what we have received in the revival services, the devil can't steal that away from you. Amen. Well, praise God. He cannot steal it away from us. The joy and the peace and the deliverance that God has given to us, amen, it's solid and it's secure. Well, praise God. It really is. And what God has given us is very, very solid. Job chapter 1 and verse 10, you don't have to turn there this morning, but Satan is speaking to God. And the Lord says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" I don't understand everything. I don't pretend to understand everything. But here we have a situation where the devil is before the Lord and is accusing. Amen. Scripture says that he is the accuser of the brethren and that he stands before the Lord and accuses them day and night. Amen. We got to realize this and understand this. The only thing the devil can do is make accusations. The devil does not have any power except the power that God has given to him. Amen. And he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Now, here is something that Satan exposes to you and I here today. Job 1 and verse 10, "Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land." Praise God. I'm telling you this morning, the devil revealed something to you and I that we need to see. And that there is a hedge about us. That hedge is a wall. It's an impenetrable wall. Many times a hedge in the scriptures would be, when it speaks about the hedge, it talks about a very thorny bush that even animals cannot get through because it's so thick and the thorns are so sharp. They would use that as a wall to keep anything out. And in the realm of the Spirit, God is into making hedges. Amen. God is into making walls that the enemy cannot penetrate. Praise God. And if he does penetrate, it is because God has allowed it for a season of time. Well, praise God. If we can get a hold of this and understand it and apply it every day in our walk with God, amen, I'll tell you, it'll bring you a better understanding of your walk with God. Joseph had this understanding. Joseph said, "It was not you that did this to me, it was God. You didn't bring this along, God brought this along so that things, I believe, so that things in Joseph's heart could be revealed to Joseph. Amen. And spent all that time in the prison when God could have given the Pharaoh a dream years before. But he let him sit there. Amen. He let him get to the place where he really probably thought, I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. Amen. But what he didn't know in full completion until he was elevated, that there was a hedge about him. And there was a blessing that was coming down from God. Amen. Did you know that God has a hedge about you today? Praise God. And everything that is blessed in your hand has come from the Lord. Amen. The increase that Job had came from God. And the devil said, all I can do is stand back and consider this man. All I can do is just look at him and shake my head. There's nothing I can do. I try to get close to him and I get stuck by the hedge and I can't get through. There's a spiritual barrier. Amen. And I can't make it through this barrier. I can't get to him. And the reason he's blessed is because of you, God. And he accused him and said, if you take it away, he'll curse you to your face. And I'm not going to go into the story of Job here this morning. Amen. Job passed the test. Amen. He did not charge God foolishly, but he maintained that God was his hedge. Amen. That God is with us. Well, praise God. If we can just maintain that understanding today, Jesus is my refuge. Jesus is the hedge that has been placed around me. Jesus is my blessing today. Jesus is my portion today. Praise God. And God has given me a place of safety that the enemy cannot penetrate. Praise God. Isaiah spoke of it a little bit in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 4. And God is speaking about backslidden Israel. And they had left God. It's incredible to me when people leave God and they get bored with church and they get bored with preaching. Amen. I don't understand that, because God has given us a place of refuge in the church. Amen. God has given us a place of refuge. Amen. That doesn't mean that there's not problems. But I'm telling you today, the Word of God is quick and powerful. Amen. The hedge that God has placed about us is the secret place where we can run and hide. Amen. The enemy cannot get to us. And so God, in his frustration with the people of God here in the book of Isaiah, he said, what more could have been done to my vineyard? Amen. God looked at it. Jesus came along and said the same thing in one place. And he said, what shall I liken this generation to? He said, it's like children playing in the streets. And they're playing music, but their fellows, their friends, they just sit there. And they won't sing and they won't dance. He said, they come weeping, but they just stand there. Or they just sit there. And they won't weep. Amen. And the Lord spoke the same thing here about Israel, backslidden Israel in the Old Testament. He said, what more could I have done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. Amen. God in his judgment, and we need to just be fearful of this. Amen. That God has his hand upon that hedge that's about us. And he said, what more could I have done? I planted the vineyard. I'm going to look at that here in a moment. Amen. But I put a hedge about this vineyard, a place where the foxes can't get through, a place where the enemy can't slip over the wall, amen, and come in the night and steal the fruit. He said, I looked for fruit, but it produced wild grapes. And now I'm going to tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. Amen. God said, I had high hopes for this vineyard. The vineyard is the people of Israel here in the book of Isaiah. Amen. When God looks at his vineyard today in this New Testament, it is almost an exact mirror. Amen. It is an almost exact replica of what we're looking at here in the book of Isaiah. There is a hedge. Amen. There is a hedge about us. Jesus spoke of it. Mark chapter 12 and verse 1. Turn with me this morning and let's look at it for a moment. Mark chapter 12 and verse 1. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it. Amen. He gave it a place of safety. He didn't just plant the hedge and, out in the middle of a field and planted a grape seed out there. And then over on a cliff somewhere over here planted another seed. And then somewhere over here that's vulnerable. And somewhere over here that's vulnerable. No, he didn't do that. Friend, I want you to know this morning. Saint of God, I want you to know. He did not just throw you out there to the wolves. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. He didn't do it that way. He didn't just cast us out, amen, and said, fend for yourself, take care of yourself, I'm not going to be there. But when he came and planted a vineyard, he took precautions, amen. He went the second mile, if you please, and he set a hedge about it. He gave the vineyard an impenetrable wall, amen, that the enemy could not get through, amen. And so he built a hedge about it. And then it says, and he digged a place for the wine fat. That's the harvest. Well, praise God. Amen. He gave us the promise of protection, and then he gave us the promise of blessing. Well, praise the Lord. The blessings of the Lord, they maketh rich, Scripture says. Amen. And he digged a place for the wine fat, meaning that there is an expectation of blessing. Amen. Are you expecting troubles in your life? Are you expecting bad things in your life? It's not the will of God for us to expect those things. It is the will of God for us to expect blessings in our lives. Amen. Because he made a place for the wine fat. Amen. A place where the harvest could take place. And the grape juice could be taken and stored away for future parties and victories and dinners and breakfast and all the blessings. I believe he gave us enough so we could even sell and have more and more and more and more. God did this. Turn to your neighbor and say, God did this. Amen. God did it. He put a hedge about it, and then he digged a wine press. I've seen the wine press in Israel. There's one on the Sea of Galilee in the city of Tiberias. And we went there as we crossed over the Sea of Galilee on the boat. And we got there, and there it was. It was a round place, there was a stone that, and I don't know if I can describe it so you can get a mental picture, but it was a cone shaped. It was small at one end, a little bit bigger at the other end. And the reason was so they could roll that stone around in a circle, the inside being a shorter distance than the outside, and that way it would roll perfectly around in there. And when it was time for the harvest, they would put the grapes down in there, and they would roll that stone around, and it would squish the grapes, and all the juice would come out, and there was a place for all of that juice to go out, and they would capture it in the bottle, so to speak, or the wine skins, and they would capture all of that. They made it ahead of time. Amen. They didn't wait until the harvest because there was a lot of chipping on that rock that rolled around. There was a lot of chipping. Actually, the wine press in that situation was actually a huge stone. And so it was two stones that were rolling, one rolling on top of the other. You just don't carve out something like that in a day. Amen. You don't just put it together when the harvest is ready and kind of throw it together and hope that everything works out. No. It was thought out ahead of time. Praise God. It was planned ahead of time because the owner understood there's going to be a harvest. Praise God. There's going to be a place and a time of blessing. And the wine fats are going to run to the full, as Scripture says. And I'm going to pour out my blessing upon you. Amen. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. There's a hedge, my friend. But inside this vineyard, there's a wine fat. Praise God. He didn't stop there. He built a tower. Somebody said a tower. A tower. Amen. That's where the watchman sat. In a vineyard in the eastern part of the world over there, they would build a tower, and the man in the tower would be there 24 hours a day. They would always have somebody up in that tower watching because the enemy could slip over the wall if there was a break in the hedge. Amen. The Bible talks about that break in the hedge sometimes. And the watchman would stay up there in the tower, and he would watch, and he would cry out if there was an enemy or a thief that would try to come along and steal the precious fruit. Praise God. Thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. Thank God for a watchman on the wall. Amen. Thank God for a tower. And we could add to that this morning that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it and are safe. Amen. But in the top of that tower, there is a watchman. There is someone who is crying out and saying there is trouble over there. Be careful. Don't go that direction. Amen. Because I can see things that you can't see. It's not that the ministry is smarter than anybody else. It's just that God has placed the ministry in a different position. Amen. A place where they can see. Amen. Where others cannot see. Amen. It would be foolish in this day for the owner of a vineyard to tell the watchman on the wall, "Oh, you just trying to rule over us. You're just trying to say things." No, I'm telling you what, the owner understood the importance of a watchman. And I thank God for watchmen in my life. I thank God for men who are not afraid to preach the Word of God and to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. Because there is an enemy that will try to steal and to kill and to plunder. But thank God he built a tower in this vineyard. And then you and I come into the picture. It says he let it out to husbandmen. I hope you're with me. Mark 12 and verse 1 through 11. He let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. Amen. And the husbandman is Israel. The husbandman is the person that takes care of the vineyard. The husband is the one who watches over it. And if there's a stone that falls off of the wall, he picks it up and he repairs that spot. Amen. He watches to see if it needs more water. He watches to see if there's some pruning that needs to take place. He takes care of the vineyard. Amen. Folks, we need to take care of what God has given to us. We cannot look at it casually. Well, praise the Lord. We cannot look at it casually and just say, well, it's not that big of a deal. Let me tell you today, it is a big deal. Because without this vineyard, our blessings are going to be taken away. There's not going to be a need for a wine press. Not going to be a need for a harvest if we allow the vineyard to go down. Amen. Because the Lord has called us and the Lord has set up his vineyard so that there will be a harvest. Praise God. Just so you know how the pastor feels this morning, I don't believe the days of revival are over. I don't believe that it's time to just kind of skate along. Amen. And take it easy. Amen. And not worry about the world that's dying around us. Amen. But it is the will of God that this precious word of God produce fruit in our lives. And the Bible says here, he let it out to husbandmen. Amen. He, at the season, sent to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. And so he came looking for fruit on this or from this vineyard from Israel. And they caught him and they beat him and sent him away empty. That would be a reference to the prophets that God sent to Israel. And again, he sent unto them another servant. And at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another and him they killed and many others beating some and killing some. Amen. Jesus spoke of Israel that way. He said, O Israel, amen, thou that killest the prophets, and stoneth them that are sent unto thee. And it's almost as though God was throwing up his hands and said, I did everything to bless. I did everything so there would be more than enough. But they would not. Amen. They would not cooperate. They would not be a part. Amen. But they got this attitude against the husbandman, against the owner of the vineyard. And they felt like they were in charge of this vineyard, that they could do whatever they wanted to do. Hey, let me tell you today, friend, I don't have the liberty just to do anything that I want to do because I'm the pastor. There are guidelines in the Word of God. And I want you to know as well that you don't have the opportunity. Well, I'm not preaching to a problem this morning, but we don't have the opportunity to take things into our hands because this is not my church. This is not your church, even though we say that because we love our church and we feel a connection to our church. Amen? We do, and we need to. But there is a higher truth this morning that this is God's church. Amen. God planted this vineyard. God put up the hedge. God built the tower. And then in his graciousness and in his kindness, he let it out to husbandmen, went his way, and left his precious vineyard in the hands of men. Praise God. I'm telling you, it's an awesome thing to be in the church. Come on, folks. It's an awesome thing to be in the church this morning and to be a part of the work of God. I don't take it lightly. Amen. He sent the prophets. They killed some. They beat the others. And having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said unto themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. That's what the Pharisees and the scribes thought. We're in charge here, and we need to keep our power base. We need to keep our influence and all of that. And everything that they did was to keep their power and keep a hold on the kingdom of God and manipulate it through their carnal minds. Well, praise God. Folks, I'm telling you this morning, we're all penciled in. I'm penciled in and you're penciled in. And God can get his eraser out and erase us and write somebody else's name in that place. Amen. What we need to do is be thankful that we're here. Praise God. We need to be thankful that God filled us with the Holy Ghost and washed away our sins in baptism. Praise God. I'm thankful this morning. Anybody else thankful this morning? Maybe you ought to just thank God this morning. He did all the work and then said, here, you manage it. You take care of it. I'm going to come back for fruit on this. And to one he gave 5 talents, to one he gave 2, and to one he gave 1. And the day came when he came back and he said, what did you do with what I gave you? Amen. Same thing right here in this parable. They're going to reverence my son, but the Bible says they took him and killed him. That's a reference to Jesus. He's speaking of himself here. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. Amen. They hung him on the cross outside of the city of Jerusalem. And he said, what shall therefore the Lord of that vineyard do? What can he do? Here is the exciting part for you and I. He will come and destroy the husbandman, which he did in 70 AD. The Romans came and destroyed the whole country and carried them away captive. And it was 2,000 years before they ever came back to that land. Amen. And it says he will destroy the husbandman and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Praise God. The other scripture that we read, amen, where Job had a hedge about him, Satan spoke to him and said, if you take the hedge away, he'll curse you to your face. And so God took the hedge away. And it didn't take long for the devil to do his job. But folks, that's an Old Testament story this morning. I challenge you to find a New Testament story that is the same as that. It's not there in the New Testament. I just read to you that he made a vineyard and he put a hedge about that vineyard. And then when they didn't do their job, he didn't tear down the vineyard. He didn't tear down the wall. He didn't tear down the hedge or the tower. He just let it out to other people. You know who the other people are? It's the Gentiles. Well, praise God. It's you and I this morning. Amen. That God has given his precious vineyard to. There's a hedge about us today. Praise God. There's a place of safety today that God has prepared for you and I. Amen. That we can rejoice in. A place of secrecy. Amen. A place where the blessings. Amen. Where the vineyard grows. And nothing can come in and molest it. Amen. Nothing can come in and tear it up and destroy it. You say, well, I've had troubles in my life or I've had troubles in my family. I'm telling you, if we live in this world, Jesus said, there will be tribulation. There will be trouble. Amen. But when we get in trouble, it's important that we run to the right place. Amen. That's why Jesus is my city of refuge. And when I run to Him, He's going to hide me in the secret place. There are some places the devil can't go. There's some things the devil can't do. Amen. Praise God. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Everybody said good measure. Press down. Everybody said press down. Shaken together. Running over. Shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met withal, it shall be measured to you again. Notice in this scripture, there is no word that says, give and whatever the devil takes, the rest of it's yours. Doesn't say that. Give. No, he didn't say give and you're going to have less than what you have. He didn't say that. And mathematically, that figures out that when you take a number and subtract something from it, then you get a lesser number at the bottom. But God is a miracle-working God. When you take the $100 that you make this week on your job, and I hope you made more than that, but the $100 that you made on your job, now don't get quiet on me this morning. Amen. And you take your tithe, which is $10 out of that $100, and you give it to God. I want you to know you're not just going to end up with $90. Praise God. You know why? Because God's mathematics are different than ours. Amen. When we protect the vineyard, amen. I'm telling you today, there's quite an overhead for a church. Amen. Quite an overhead with insurance and fuel cost and all kinds of different expenses. Amen. And now we're talking about building a new church or buying a new church. Amen. And so we understand that it takes folks that are giving. Amen. And I thank you for your giving. Amen. But I'm here to tell you that when you give, you're not going to end up with less than what you have. Amen. God will inject into that His mathematics. And when His mathematics takes over, amen, it's going to be heaped up, pressed down, and shaken together and running over. Go to Malachi 3 this week and read it. Amen. And God said, because the people of God did not give, He called for a drought upon the land. Amen. Look in the book of Haggai. And he said, you earn wages and you put it into a bag with holes in it. The money just comes in and it goes right back out. And we can't seem to get ahead. And God said, why is it that way? He said, because my house has laid waste. Amen. He said, get the wood and bring it and build the house first. Praise God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. Write out your tithing check first. Amen. Before you pay all the other bills. And you know what? The devil can't get in and steal your blessing. Well, praise God. I could go on in this. I'm not going to. But the Bible tells us here that when we give, it shall be given back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Amen. And with the same measure that you met with all, it shall be measured to you again. That simply put means you cannot outgive God. Amen. I've seen people that give according to what they want to make, not what they make. Amen. And I've seen God elevate them to that place. Amen. To where what they are giving is commensurate to what they make. Praise God. How blessed do you want to be? Amen. Do you want to hold on to the little bit in your hand, to that little one talent, and dig a hole and bury it in the ground and say, there, I've got it there, and it's not much, but I've got a little bit. Amen. I'm telling you, we're going to starve to death. Hear the preacher this morning. We will starve to death if we take the blessings that God has given it and put it in our pocket and never give it away and sow it. Amen. Just throw it to the wind. Amen. God will produce a harvest when we plant the seed and give it away. Praise God. I love it when preachers come. And I'll tell you this morning, I love it when they come because, for one reason, I'm the one that gets to give them a check for coming. And you know what? I don't feel ashamed at all to tell you that I like to be very liberal with the preachers that come and preach in our church. And I want them to leave saying, we want to go back there. Praise God. You say, oh, well, you know, there. I had one missionary that I used to be a missions director in another state, and I would coordinate the travels of the missionaries through the district. And one missionary to France was coming through our district, and he called me up, and he said, I noticed that I've got a church here that I'm scheduled to be at. He said, I want you to know I called the pastor and canceled that service. I said, oh, really? Is everything okay? He said, well, I've got it down in my notes that I drove hundreds of miles to get to his church. And when I got there, he put me on a cot in the basement. And then when everything was over with, he gave me $50. He said, Brother Worse, I'm not complaining, but he said, I can't afford to go there because it cost me more than $50 in gas just to get there. And I don't mind sleeping on a cot, but you know what? We're in a modern country. Amen. And I spoke with the pastor, and he said, well, if he's in the ministry, he needs to expect it to be tough. You know what? We're not going to do that to preachers that come through here. We're going to bless them. And we're going to put them in a nice place to stay. We're not going to put them in the basement under our house. We don't have a basement. We could put them in the crawl space. Amen. Down there with the mice and the snakes and whatever else is down there. Well, bless your heart. They're in the ministry, and they need to learn how to tough it out. Amen. No, I'm telling you what, we're going to bless the vineyard. We're going to bless this vineyard, and we're going to give to this vineyard of our life, of ourself, and that's what you do when you give your tithes and your offering to God. Somebody ought to help me here this morning. You're not giving your money, you're giving your life. Because it took so much time for you to make that with your life. And when you give your life, amen, love God with all of your might and all of your strength. That is our well, it's not just our finances, but it's our life.
That's right.
Praise God. The vineyard is in our hands today, folks. Let that settle in this morning. Amen. Matthew 6 and verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. There is a principle of giving that returns to us, but there is a principle of prayer here that I wanted to bring out. This is our city of refuge. Amen. The devil cannot get in on your prayer meeting unless God allows him to. Amen. And unless we allow him, if we open the door and say, come on in, devil, amen, I'm going to have a prayer meeting and you can come and speak to my mind and my heart. I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to go into the closet, right? Is that what he said? And then what do we need to do? Shut the door. Praise God. We need to go in the closet and shut the door. Because when we shut the door, it's an impenetrable barrier. In other words, when you start to pray and all of a sudden you get tired. Does anybody get tired when you start to pray? I mean, you can be going through the day just slugging it out and really going. And the moment you stop and you say, Our Father which art in, and you start to go to sleep and you get tired. I'm telling you today, what you need to do is shut the door on that and get up and walk around and say, Spirit of tiredness, get out of here in Jesus' name. You don't belong in this closet. Amen. And when you come into the closet and all of those things come up in your mind, you know what? There's so many things that will come up in your mind when you start to pray. Amen. You know what it's doing? It's when you opened the door and you walked into the closet, it just walked in with you. And what you got to do is kind of clean the closet out a little bit and look up there amongst all of the shoes. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. He's hiding in one of the shoe boxes. And all of a sudden he'll say, oh, you've only got 75 pairs of shoes. You're not doing so good. Amen. That blue pair or that red pair over there at the store, you need to go right now and get it because it's on sale. And if you don't get it right now, you're going to miss out on this opportunity. You know what? You need to shut the door on that spirit. Praise God. You go in there and that spirit slips in behind you and all you're thinking about is the stuff you got to do tomorrow on the job. Or the things that you've got going on Saturday. Amen. That you got to get done at the house. Amen. All of these cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches begin to choke the word of God. Amen. And we open the door. But Jesus said, shut the door. Shut the door. Don't let anybody in. Amen. And don't you go out. Get in that secret place of prayer. And talk to God. And the only thing the devil can do is stand outside the door of your closet. I wonder what he's talking about. I wonder what him and God are planning now. And he's walking around out there thinking, you know, I wished I could get in there and hear what he's talking about. Then I'd know, you know, because knowledge is power, as they say. I remember way back in the 80s when they were doing some sort of negotiations with Russia, and we went to Russia and did the negotiations, and I read the article where they took with them what they called the bubble, and it was a clear plastic bubble, and it was big enough for all of the negotiators to get into, and they would negotiate with the enemy, and then they would all get in the bubble, and they would shut the door. And there was no way that they could detect what they were saying, and they would make their plans, and then they would open the door of the bubble, and they'd come out, and they would negotiate some more. I thought that was really cool. Because here's those Russians over there pacing back and forth, and maybe some lip-reading ones, you know, trying to read their lips and to see what they're talking about. Amen. Because if we can understand what they're saying, then we can make our plans to counter them. And don't think the devil is just laying around. Amen. He knows he's got just a short time, and he's working diligently. Go in the closet, shut the door. Amen. Get into your city of refuge. Amen. And just pray your heart out and tell God everything that's going on in your life. And I'm telling you, it will be a blessing, because the Bible says that if we pray to our Father which is in secret, the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God is in the secret place. God is behind the impenetrable wall. Amen. Don't be on the outside of the wall. Get on the inside. Well, praise God. Amen. Let's look at another one real quickly here this morning. I'm going to finish here in just a moment. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 3. I want to read verses 3 through 7. Isaiah 58. Wherefore have you fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Well, I've fasted, and it just doesn't seem like God sees. I prayed, and it doesn't seem like God hears. Well, you've got the door open on your prayer room. That's the problem. And here's a problem in fasting. He said, wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens? Well, praise God. If you've got a heavy burden today, get into prayer and fasting, and it's a secret place. And to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Everybody said every yoke. Every yoke. Amen. The Egyptians which you see today, you shall see them no more forever. There was not one that survived the water. There was not one that survived the situation. Amen. I'm telling you, you might not think this is important this morning, but it's very important. Amen. To undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Praise God. He said, don't fast like the Pharisees fast. They go out in the streets and they make their faces real long. And they look like they're tired and worn out. And somebody could say, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm fasting. Oh, he's a spiritual person. He said, don't go out on the street corner and stand on the street corner with a trumpet and blow your trumpet and pray out loud so everybody can hear you. There's a time for corporate prayer, but he wasn't talking about corporate prayer. He was just talking about being the loudest one on the street corner. Amen. Praying so loud that everybody has to listen to you, and they can't pray because all they hear is you. Oh, well, I'm just touching God. No, I'll tell you what, you're outside the secret place, but if you get in the secret place, and he said, when you leave that secret place, you wash your face. Amen. You brush your teeth. Amen. You look like you always look. And go out and don't tell anybody that you've been fasting. Don't tell anybody that you've been in a season of prayer. Don't tell anybody what your personal commitment to God is. And he said, the Father which seeth in secret. You have been in that city of refuge that is impenetrable. And the enemy has not been able to get in. And I'm telling you, when the enemy is not around to destroy, a lot can be built up. Praise God. I'll tell you, I've done enough construction work to know what I'm talking about. I'm not an expert at it, but I'm telling you, I've done enough to know there are some things that can hinder you and that can help you. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, if you're going to hang sheetrock by yourself, you better figure out how to do it the right way, or you're going to hurt yourself, because that stuff's heavy. And I've had to hang 5/8 sheetrock, a 12-foot strip of it that weighs about 140 pounds. I'm not like Fred that could do that with one arm. I can't do that. And so I had to figure out a method, amen, because there are things that will steal your strength. And you can fight it, you can try to lift it, you can try to move it, and you're completely worn out with just doing one sheet. But there's another way to do it that's a whole lot easier. And you can hang them all day, and well, you're tired, but it's not, you're not completely worn out. There's a right way and a wrong way to do things. Amen. And the wrong way to pray, we've already talked about it. The wrong way of fasting, we've already talked about it. Amen. Get in that secret place. And when the enemy is shut out, oh, the stuff you can get done. Amen. The things that you can get done. Praise God. I'll tell you, some, when they're working on a job, they'll get all their tools out and everything is all scattered around. And then when the day's over, they just pick things up and move them out. Brother Guest taught me this one. He said, you know, you got to work a little bit smarter than that. He said, when you're done with that tool and you have to go out to the truck to get another tool, take a tool with you while you're going. And he said, I'm a lot older than the guys that work with me, but at the end of the day, they're worn out because they're going back and forth all day long. And he said, I'm just taking my time and working easy, and I get more work done than they do, and they're worn out, and I'm not worn out. And they say, how do you do it? Just working a little bit smarter. I've shut some things out. I'm not participating in some things. Well, somebody ought to say, praise God. Amen. Don't wear yourself out living for God. Are you listening this morning? Don't wear yourself out living for God. Don't make it such a struggle. Why is it a struggle? Well, there's some things you're letting into the closet. There's some things you're letting into your life that are hindering you, and it's not the will of God for those things to be there. There's an easier way. There's a better way. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says, and he was afraid and looked on him and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. You know that scripture. Cornelius, he didn't have the Holy Ghost. He didn't know God. But there was one thing that he did know. When you go into that secret place, some things can get done. Well, praise God. You need some victory in your life? Are there some things that are chasing you down, trying to destroy your life? I just want to be an encouragement to you today. Don't let it bring you down. Don't stay outside of that city. Get in the city, shut the door, and don't come out. Amen. And that enemy will not be able to destroy your life. Let's stand together this morning. Praise God. I'm thankful today for the Lord in my life. Amen. So many, many blessings have come. And church, I want you to know today, amen, God has blessings for us. And the blessings are not here today and gone tomorrow and such a temporary thing. But I think I'm beginning to understand after all these years of serving the Lord that the blessings of God, when they begin to come, amen, they're not going to go away. Praise God. I spoke to one elder minister in our area many, many years ago, 20 years ago, and I told him, I said, we're working on this church over here, trying to get it started, and we've got all these bills. And we've got a small amount of money that comes in every week. And I said, I feel like God wants me to devote my entire time to getting this church fixed and teaching Bible studies. And I said, I feel like the Lord is prompting me to do this, and I'm getting ready to do this. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, and I was working for myself at the time, and I said, Lord, I've got several jobs that are before me right now. In the next 2 weeks, if you'll shut down these jobs, I'll know that you're speaking to my heart. And within 2 weeks, Ronnie, God shut all those jobs down. I wasn't working. They said, oh, we don't need you anymore. And this one finished and whatever. And I said, but God, how are we going to pay the bills? You see how much the bills are and how much is coming in. And the elder minister told me, I said, I don't know how long it's going to last. I'm going to step out by faith and believe God. And he spoke a word of faith to me. He said, Brother Worse, it's going to last for a long time. And the day that I quit all of my secular working and devoted my work, my talents and abilities to the work of God, the finances of the church doubled. And they never went back down again. And they continued to grow. They continued blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. God didn't call you to pull the rug out from underneath you. He didn't take the time to build a vineyard and to put a hedge about it and to put a tower in it and to do all those things for you so that he could turn it over to you and then let a wildfire go and destroy everything. He didn't do that. But he gave us something solid, something secure that's going to last and last and last and last. Amen. You know what the most important thing is to God? His vineyard. His vineyard. His kingdom. His church. That's the most important thing to him. He is the head of the church. He purchased the church. Amen. He built the church. He said, I'm going to place it on the solid rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's number one heartbeat in this world is the church, which includes you and I. Praise God. It includes the totality of the church. Thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for the church and a place of refuge that we can run and hide. And the enemy cannot penetrate. He cannot come and touch us, but the blessings are secure. Praise God. Somebody ought to just lift your voice this morning. You're not that tired. Amen. And give God thanks this morning. Praise God. He did it all for us. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Amen. We should be willing to give it all for the work of God and the kingdom of God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Go ahead and sing this morning. It's all right to give the Lord thanks this morning.